Good morning, friends. It's lovely to come into the hall and be with you, feel your presence. And sometimes it feels like at the moment things are really starting to settle, and it can feel almost like we're interrupting that to offer some more words in. Maybe it does feel settled where you are in your location today, or maybe it feels less settled than yesterday. Of course, you know, as the days go by, as the hours go by, many different weather patterns can come and go. And this morning, a bit more clouds in the sky, a bit lower down, not so much blue sky around. Maybe that can feel the same inside in our internal weather, shifts and changes. So I wanted to speak a little bit about some of these weather patterns in our experience, our hearts, minds, bodies. And sometimes these are called hindrances, the five hindrances in the traditional translation. But the word that hindrance actually translates can also mean a veil or a covering. And I find that in a way a bit more useful. Sometimes if we think of hindrances, it sets up a bit of a combative relationship. I've just got to get them out of the way and then it's going to be plain sailing. What are they covering up? What are they veiling? You could say that they are covering, they are veiling our inherent capacity for clarity, for gatheredness, for steadiness. And these five things, which I'll say a little bit more about each of them, are, they're human, they're part of our, part of this human deal. They are utterly natural and to be expected. And very likely that you have come across one, two, three, maybe all of them so far on the retreat. And I invite us to see them as landscapes of exploration, rather than the sense of something that we need to push away. So for example, I can sometimes think of them as two pairs and a single one. So one of the pairs is, on the one hand, heaviness, sleepiness, dullness, and on the other side, agitation and restlessness. And, you know, maybe we start feeling that heavy, sleepy. We might not realise it until our bodies are completely slumped over and we're like this, and then suddenly it's like, oh, realise I've fallen asleep. A complete heaviness of the body. And in that moment, there can be the berating, there can be the, oh no, you know, don't want it to be like this. But actually that moment, of course, as we've been saying, is a moment of mindfulness, is a moment of possibility, is a moment of recognition, of recognizing, oh, it's like this. There's heaviness, there's sleepiness. And of course, as we've been saying at the start of the retreat, we might have brought a lot of tiredness with us, and there might be, you know, different health conditions that we have that also come with that tiredness, fatigue. Really important that we take care of that. But then there can be just this wave, like the weather coming, of, oh. And can we, and I'll be suggesting a few ways to work with this, can we see this as a possibility of exploring, oh, this is what happens. The mind just starts to feel really kind of like this, and the body is like this. So doorways, all of them doorways, for developing kindness, for developing more kindness and patience and curiosity. All of these five are impersonal actually, but they can take very particular forms for each of us. And very important to honour that quite frequently. They might be based in historical protective mechanisms that we've had to develop. And Yeah, really important that that is honoured again as part of this not pushing away, not trying to just get rid of them. Yeah, historically appropriate protective reactions and mechanisms sometimes that have this, that have often a kind of wisdom inside them, something that is trying to complete itself. And in the early Buddhist teachings, they're often described in terms of images and metaphors and similes and in quite poetic language. And sometimes with these lists, you know, we'll be encountering these lists, the four of this, the three of that, the five of that, mechanisms simply in an age where things were carried on through the oral tradition that people could remember. And there's quite a lot of five things. It's an obvious thing. We've got these five digits. So the five veils, the five hindrances, yes, often described through images. And something that I've found helpful over the years is to find my own ways in and my own images so that I can recognize them better. And so I've brought some things in that I found in the garden. I was just walking around last night and contemplating these and just came across different objects that felt spoke to me about each one. And you'll have your own ways into them. I mean, from them, this side you're getting quite a lot of words, quite a lot of the verbal channel. But I know that for many of us, we actually learn better in lots of different channels. Maybe it is through images, maybe it is through metaphor, maybe it is through sounds, through movement, through the kinesthetic channel. So I wanted to bring that in, that there are so many different ways into these practices and teachings. Important that we find the ones that are right for us. So let's start with traditionally, the translation is sloth and torpor, heaviness, tiredness. The body's just slumped, and as I said, sometimes we only recognize it when we're already slumped over. And for this, I've got some sheep's wool and some really soft feathers that you just want to curl up in and fall asleep in. So how do we respond? How do we respond creatively when we find that, when we sense, we recognize that heaviness? So the breath is one avenue. We could maybe bring the in-breath more to the foreground. So the in-breath has a bit more energizing qualities to it. We're literally, as we know, taking in oxygen, oxygenating the body. Taking a maybe fuller in-breath or bringing kind of more attention to the in-breath. Opening the eyes, you know, often you feel that sort of like the eyes, like the head drooping. Opening the eyes, you know, looking downwards. But then sometimes even the eyes start to close and the head nods. So really an invitation to, you know, bring more wakefulness into the body by raising the arms like this. And I invite us all to do this right now because sometimes it can feel in the middle of the sitting when everyone is like really like quiet and they look like they're, you know, bright and alert and can feel like, is it really okay to do this and is it really okay to stand up? So let's just all do it together so we get a little bit of practice and see how it feels, see what happens in the body when we just bring the arms up. And if there's pain in the shoulders or any discomfort, you don't have to, you know, do it a long way, you can just do it a little way. Experiment with what feels like, oh yeah, that brings a bit more wakefulness in. Yeah, if it feels like you want to take your arms right up sometimes. Yeah. Great. So that's a possibility to bring a bit more energy into the practice. And also standing up. It's hard to fall asleep standing up. I have seen it done in a meditation hall. but it is a lot harder, and it does bring a lot more energy. And I know that people have been standing up already, and that's great. So that's a possibility. And, you know, just to do it slowly, quietly, mindfully. And, you know, we're not going to be bobbing up every other minute, you know, standing up. noticing the sensation, seeing what happens. Oh yeah, okay. There's lots of whizzing and buzzing that can happen in the body, in the system, when we stand up, and that can really shift the energy. So on this other side of sleepiness and heaviness, oh, my little sculpture's just collapsed, never mind. I saw this and I thought, restlessness, it's like little ants in your pants. And for me, that's how restlessness and agitation feels, just that kind of, like just friction and rubbing up against, you know, this thought and this and that. And that agitation we can really feel in the body and can be, you know, very uncomfortable and difficult. Can we know it? Can we go, agitation, restlessness. I don't need to get completely sucked in and caught up. And how can I meet that with some kindness and compassion? You know, maybe it's bringing some more attention to the out-breath. The out-breath can let the being settle a little bit more. Resting back, sense of resting back, so there isn't that agitation isn't kind of pulling us forward. Really resting back. If it's helpful, sometimes I use the sense of resting back against a tree. In the early teachings, as often the monks and nuns, the monastics, they go and sit at the root of a tree. And you might, you know, picture, you might actually have done that with these trees out here, like this sense of the solid trunk behind you, your sitting bones really rooting down, resting back. And sometimes it can feel nice to offer soothing, like a hand on the upper chest, a hand on the belly. The places in the body where agitation, restlessness, disquiet can sometimes really be flickering, buzzing. Feeling into the breath there. And yeah, you might like to do that right now. See what effect that has. When we place our hands, particularly on this part of the body, we're also soothing the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve responsible for regulating our central nervous systems. Really connected with our fight, flight, freeze responses. The vagus nerve travels all the way down from the head down the torso and into the lower body. So we can do this at any point we can offer this soothing. And see what, you know, feels like a comfortable thing to you. If you want to keep your arm there a lot, then sometimes you might need to prop it up, even put it in a kind of sling or scarf or something. So that's agitation. And then we have the next pair. Oh, and it's I just picked this up and already felt the prickles of aversion. So this is the spikiness that, the pushing away. Either that thing or this thing or that state of mind, or it's just really like, yeah, aversion, pushing away. And yeah, this is a bit of thistle with lots of spikes on. And on the other side, the pulling. So again, sorry, I didn't really say much about working with aversion. Again, the soothing is helpful, the compassion to ourselves, the recognizing, like always the knowing, the clear seeing. It's aversion. And sometimes, you know, all these things they present as this is the truth. This is the truth that whatever is. Yeah, like this. That person is like that. I'm like this. They're like that. The situation is like that. They seem absolutely convincing. Can I know aversion as aversion? And in the text, it's very much not, you know, knowing aversion as aversion and then saying, you're a really bad person. You shouldn't be so averse. You know that it's really bad to be averse and it's not going to be good for you. It's not going to be. They don't actually say that. It says, knowing aversion as aversion, knowing craving as craving. that full body, that embodied knowing. And in that recognition, that embodied recognition, that is the first step, the first crucial step where the doorway can open and we can have some space. Ah, it's aversion. It's another weather pattern, another veil that's coming through. And on the other side of aversion, the wanting. Like, we can, you know, as we know, we can want anything and everything, as well as we can push it away. And it can take many, many forms, that the body just that, oh, if only the bell would ring, or if only there was Nutella for lunch. Ah, this is the hand. And sometimes we can really feel it in the hands. You know, we might start to notice that craving is present because we're literally kind of hanging on like this. And can we offer some soothing opening to the hand, through the arms, through the body. And again, the resting back. So in the centre, and kind of propped up here, is the fifth. And this is doubt, this is destructive doubt, this is doubt that pulls everything apart. So we emphasize a lot the curiosity in this practice, important, the curiosity, the investigation, the not taking, you know, what other people say, what we say, what you've heard, what you've read as any kind of, you know, unassailable truth, the importance of that investigation for yourself, what leads to greater flourishing. And it's said that with all the hindrances, they affect us, they stir things up, they complicate things, they obscure things, so that we can't properly understand and see what is for our own welfare or for the welfare of another. And that's the kind of lodestone of our curiosity. What is for our own benefit? And doubt comes in this particular form of questioning, of destructive, of this form of doubt that really tears things apart and says, comes often with the voice of, who do you think you are? You know, what is this? Who are these people? What is this thing? I shouldn't be here. I've made the wrong decision. I always make the wrong decisions. It has that kind of flavor to it, that kind of, yeah, that kind of proliferation. And so I don't know why this spoke to me, but there's something about the smoothness of the outside of the poppy seed, poppy case, I guess, the little tiny seeds are inside. Doubt is very, very, very convincing. It has absolutely kind of like seamless sort of quality to it sometimes, where, you know, as with Mara, it's like, you know, just it gets really close in. But then at the top of the case, there's all these kind of, I don't know how many, maybe 12 or something, these things that go out in all directions, you know. I'm no good, they're no good, it's no good, it's this, it's that. And attached to this, sort of like coming off the top, in this little sculpture, is actually five prongs with seeds on the end. And this is to symbolize and remind us that they are all doorways, this five. They all carry potential. They're all pathways for investigation, for recognizing, for knowing more and more our own tendencies and habit patterns, and the places where we can get stuck, or where the weather sets in and it seems like it's never going to change. So I really invite you to find your own creative ways into these landscapes, and yeah, throughout these next days, if it feels helpful. words, images, dances, you know, there's so many possibilities. And I'll leave these here so that you can have a little look if you'd like to at some point. And just to recap again, sleepiness, heaviness, sloth and torpor, and its partner, agitation, restlessness, aversion, spikiness, craving. I often think of these as the push and the pull, and then finally doubt, the cloying, skeptical, destructive doubt that pulls everything apart. So please take a few minutes to stretch and move and find a comfortable posture to do some practice together. And yes, do feel free to stand if you'd like to. It feels like there's a lot of heaviness in the body. Settling, arriving, landing, consciously taking our seats. Receiving the gift of gravity keeps us connected to the earth as fully as we can, receiving that unconditional support from the ground beneath us. Connecting with what feels a useful, helpful anchor for you. Beginning to sense into The landscape of your being right now, how is it? How is it right now? In your location. How's the weather? Recognizing, oh, it's like this right now. Recognizing. Responding as best you can.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.